You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Could you just explain a little bit about what wireless charging roads are and how the technology is intended to work?
Yeah, and that's a great question. The wireless technologies has been around for almost 3 decades now, and you can see that in evidence of the wireless phone, where you've got you can charge basically all your toothbrush, where you can connect it together. And so in transport, that's been a relatively new innovation in regards to the last 10 years, where we're wanting to charge over a gap between a pad and the roadway, and then a vehicle passing over that. So the technology can be in a stationary situation, so you could have it over a car park where you park your car over it and aligns basically, and you charge from a primary pad in the roadway to a secondary pad that is coupled from your vehicle. So it also can be used while it's moving, so what we call semi-dynamic charging, where you can think about a taxi rank at an airport or a bus bay where buses are coming in, etc. And so you don't need to plug in conductively to charge that battery, which moves a whole lot of infrastructure and a whole lot of inconvenience for the users. And then the final sort of version of EV charging with wireless charging is actually what we call fully dynamic, and that it would be on a lane on a motorway, for example, and you are travelling at 100, 110 kilometres an hour, whatever, and you're in that lane, and if you've got the technology in your vehicle, you will then be able to charge in nanoseconds as it couples from one pad to the next.
Would this technology be able to be retrofitted to existing electric vehicles, or would this be reliant on electric vehicle producers to implement this technology in their vehicles in the future?
I mean, the most economic way to do this is to have basically it in the vehicle technologies, all right. So the newer models of vehicles are basically there is already a vehicle standard that is across all OEMs, the original equipment manufacturers for vehicles. So they can now basically put the secondary coupler on their vehicle, which you can purchase as a sort of, it's still quite new in the sense it's taken 10 years to get that standardisation across the line, but that is coming out in potentially new vehicles now. The retrofitting to a existing vehicle is a much more difficult because you have to change quite a lot to that vehicle. And some vehicles that would be extremely difficult, other vehicles but easier to do. And so there's not a lot of, some manufacturers of the pads are looking at that as a consideration, but that is quite an expensive upgrade to an existing vehicle.
Following on from this, the government's aiming to, meet emissions reduction targets, and electrifying New Zealand's roads is seems like the key to that, by increasing the EV fleets that all of us are driving. Do you think that implementing this technology within Aotearoa would minimise the cost of EVs by any chance?
The government has a strategy, three-pronged strategy, to avoid emissions, shift emissions to more sort of sustainable or more shared modes, and to then improve the vehicle fleets with emissions. So this wireless technology is only really addresses the improving the vehicle fleet emissions in the sense that, if you've got a vehicle and you're going to use it, whether it's a private motor vehicle or a commercial vehicle or a bus, for example, you basically can remove the emissions from those types of vehicles. So yes, and it's an existing technology, so it's not waiting for something in the future to happen. It makes a lot of sense to target basically improving our vehicle fleet, given that our EV fleet at the moment is just over 1%, to help remove the constraints for people and the nervousness that people have to go towards EVs. This wireless technologies really does enable people to have a much better user experience, just like we have with our smartphones, etc. Just perfectly aligned, you don't have to worry about it, right?
So how long do you think it would take for those technologies to be implemented within the roads in the future?
Certainly the stationary pads, they can be rolled out as of next year, and in fact, there's companies like Whitricity in Boston who we are collaborating with are very, very keen supporters of our research. They have solutions now that are called sort of blister pads, which stick above or like a part garage floor, for example, or in a parking building that you can purchase and put in. We're looking at in-ground solutions because we think the blister pad sticking above is not going to be, obviously, once you get out into a public roadway, that's not going to serve the other requirements that we need. And so we're looking at either surface-mounted pads or buried into the surface where you don't even see them at all. So they could be below the asphalt, and that's what's going to need to be in a sort of more high-speed environment situation. So, the solutions for stationary pads are much more available. They will be rolled out quicker. The fully dynamic situations to be able to meet all of the requirements for high-speed alignments, and also the power generation that's going to need to be getting to those positions and where we place those in terms of modelling. So we do a lot of also EV adoption, micro-simulation modelling of where traffic is going, where does it make sense to optimise where you would have these, because you wouldn't put it into every single road in the country. There would only be areas where you would optimise for these charging systems.
It's interesting you mentioned providing electricity to these different charging stations. Do you think that more resilience would need to be built within Aotearoa's electricity infrastructure to fuel or to electrify this, or to make it a possibility?
Yeah, well, I'm obviously from New Zealand. Aotearoa, it makes sense for us to improve, electrify our fleet as quickly as possible, because we already have greater than 80% renewable energy in our generation of energy. A lot of other countries are much, much lower in proportions on that, which means they're still producing, obviously, emissions at their point of source where they create the energy. We are not, most of our renewable energy is hydro. But the key thing is, as we now provide a whole new use for energy, we do need to have a lot more resilience in our energy network, and we're going to have more renewable energy. And that's very unlikely that that's going to come from hydro. In the future, that's going to be much more probably wind and solar to provide that. So one of the terms that we've been talking about is that we actually need to think about closer to where the demand is to have energy specifically for transport needs. So, for example, you could think about a service station hub on a motorway, for example, which we have a few of them around the motorway network, that would at the same time be having solar power or wind turbines at those locations that would be a charging point. So that's sort of more standard EV charging systems, but producing energy specifically for transport needs. So you cut down the distribution, the costs of that, and the requirements for that. So we're providing basically for its specific use.
Could you answer whether the government, from your knowledge, is willing to implement these technologies from day dot, let's say tomorrow?
We're very thankful that government is funding us in terms of our research program. So MB have seen the need and the demand for this type of technology, and so they're funding. We have over two MB Endeavour Fund contracts, up to $25 million of research. So we've got a team of about 50 researchers working across electrical, mechanical and civil, and also new novel materials for the Robinson Institute and University of Victoria and GNS. So we've got a very strong collaborative University of Auckland wider team that are looking at these technologies. So the government does see, the problem is the pace that we need to implement these things to encourage people to make the decisions today to buy, is that this system will not be in place tomorrow in the road, and it'll take some time to get out to the position. So we're working as fast as we can. We're linked in with National Science funded project in the US called Aspire, which is a very, very large funded US program that sort of worked collaboratively with us for their application after we got our funding for it from our New Zealand government. The relationship and the partnership that we have with Downer as a construct of infrastructure has been extremely important for us to better test the durability of systems that will be installed into asphalt pavements in New Zealand. We have quite different pavement solutions in New Zealand compared to internationally, and so we need to test those types of materials differently, and it's geologically our materials are quite young and unstable as well. And so we have an environment which is pretty challenging compared to internationally. And so that's what our facility is there for, is to be able to test these systems and come up with much more durable solutions going forward.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.